Good morning, church, and welcome to Church at Home on this very special day. It's Mother's Day. I want to give a big shout out to all the first-time moms that get to spend their first Mother's Day at home. I remember how excited I was for my first Mother's Day, but I do hope today that you have an awesome, awesome day. I've got to be honest with you, this morning I came to church and I haven't been to church in a while and I'm like, where's the awesome car park crew? And then you come to the front door and there's no welcome team. And then I walk in the foyer and I'm like, where's our frontline crew? Where's those awesome hugs? And we love giving hugs here at Real Life Church. And obviously at the moment it's a no-go zone. And then I walk into the auditorium and it's empty and dark. And I'm like, where is everyone? I so miss our church family, especially those awesome hugs that we give here at Real Life. And I cannot wait for the day that I get to see, you know, you guys again and get those awesome hugs. But you know what? Even though today is a little bit different and we're selling about it a little bit different, it is still Mother's Day. It is still the day that we wish all the awesome mums out there and grandmothers out there just how important you are. You play such an important role, you know, in your children's lives and, you know, in your families. You know, at the moment, you know, there are some mums that are playing a role of a teacher. You know, some are juggling workhood and motherhood. Some have newborns, you know, and some have toddlers. Whichever one you are, we want to thank you this morning for the love and sacrifice that you give daily, you know, for your children and all the hard work that you do, which sometimes you may feel goes unnoticed. But trust me, it's noticed. And today we salute you. You know, Pastor E mentioned last week that he felt like it was so different, you know, speaking in front of a camera. And you know what? He's not wrong at all. I am a very passionate person, so I love that if I do have a chance to speak at anything, I love being able to hear the audience and, you know, working with me and hearing everyone, just enjoying it. So I know I'm going to have some of you helping me at home doing that, but Pastor E, seriously, I don't know how you do it week in and week out, you know, giving everything you have, and the messages have been so timely. So thank you so much for everything that you do. For those who don't know me, I'm Suzanne Kentenka, and I'm a part of the leadership team here at Real Life Church. Firstly, I really want to thank Pastor E and Louise for entrusting me to share a message this morning. It is something I don't take lightly, and because we are in a different atmosphere, I'm definitely going to try my best to deliver a message. But personally, I really want to thank them, you know, because year on and year out, you know, they continue to encourage their people. They continue to inspire and support. And all they want for us is to continue to watch us grow in God. And just want to thank them for this opportunity. It's one that I really don't take lightly. So thank you so much, Pastor E and Louise. You know, when Pastor E first asked me to preach on Mother's Day, I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit shocked. I remember saying to him, I've only been a mum for just over 2 years and I only have one child. I know there's going to be mothers out there listening who have been mothers for years, who have multiple children, who maybe work as well as mothers. I'm a stay-at-home mum. But he said to me, no, I want to hear the challenges of a new mum. You know, as I look back now, I don't know if it's a first-time mother thing, but I look back now and I think, why did I always have to doubt myself? Why do I have to question? You know, what is beautiful about having so many amazing friends, mothers as friends, and even having mothers group is that we can all learn from each other. I'm not perfect at everything. There's some things I still don't know, you know, and that's where you can ask for help. But there's also things that I'm sure I can still bring. But I'm not sure if, like I said, it's a new mother's thing, or is it more that, I don't know why I just had to doubt myself. You know, becoming a mother is the most beautiful thing, most beautiful blessing we can ever receive, but it can also be the most challenging. You know, this year hasn't started off the best for our family. You know, we suffered a miscarriage, and I'm not going to lie, it really shook me. It really broke my heart, and it really tested my faith. you know, we were praying for a while for another child. And when we finally got pregnant, we found out Christmas last year. So Christmas for us is our most favorite time of the year. And, you know, we found out we were pregnant. And as quick as we were on a high, it was as quick as we came down on a low when we lost the baby in January. So this morning, that even though we have suffered this, we are not promised a smooth sailing life. We are not promised a life with no changes. Like at the moment, you know, our life is full of changes. But one thing that we are promised is that God will never change. His love and his promises will always remain. This morning, I'd like to share my journey of becoming a mother and being a mother. I would like to share with you that the choices and the decisions that I make will impact how my son will live. I have titled this message, The Power of a Mother's Faith. But can I say that what God has taught me is that our faith as mothers start well before we become one. Let's pray. Father, Lord God, I want to thank you for this opportunity this morning to come together, Lord God, and share your word, Lord God. Father God, I want to thank you for all the mothers and grandmothers out there who each day and give everything that they have, the sacrifices that they make for their children, Lord God, to greater them, to inspire them, to encourage them. I pray for every single mother out there and grandmother, God. You continue to strengthen them, Lord God. You continue to show them their love, Lord God, and you continue to guide them as life keeps changing, Lord God. Thank you, God, that we've got this opportunity to come together with your word, Lord God. Speak through me, God, this morning, Lord, and may this be just a remarkable day in your precious Son named Jesus. Amen. For those who don't know me, I've been married for just over 3 years to my husband, Justice, and we have a beautiful baby boy named Malachi. He just turned 2 last month. As any parent or even any first-time parent, when you first find out you're pregnant, that exciting feeling, like you're just so excited by it and you want to go and buy everything, like baby clothes. Seriously, you can go crazy with baby clothes. You just want to buy all the clothes you can, all the shoes. How cute are the shoes for the mothers out there? You know, I wanted to have the nursery ready. I wanted to have all this equipment ready. But now looking back, I feel like there was something I really, really didn't focus enough on, you know, and that was my faith. Everything was so new to me and I got caught up in it all. I still cannot believe how many things a little baby needs, a little child needs. I couldn't believe it. Like there's something for everything. And thankfully I have a lot of great friends around me that are moms that gave me some advice. But I have a really good friend named Veronica who came with me to Baby Bunting. I couldn't believe it. Baby Bunting is huge. It's like so much in there. She is the most organized person I know. And I'm like, Veronica, can you please help me on what I need to buy or don't need to buy us? As a first-time parent, I think you get sucked in and buying, you know, all these things that sometimes, you know, you don't even end up using, right? It's like, but everything was just going so fast and I was trying to keep up, you know, keep up with all the changes. And, you know, then he was born. And I remember this surreal moment, you know, of holding him in my arms for the first time. And I thought to myself, wow, I'm now going to look after another life. Like this is a new life that I've got this responsibility for. And I felt all these different emotions. I felt so much joy and so much happiness as I've waited so long for that moment, you know. But then the worrying started to kick in. I started to worry about every single thing. Was he eating enough? Was he warm enough? Was he breathing properly? You know, you know, with the newborns, they breathe really funny. And I'm like, oh, is he okay? And then I'll never forget, like, so when he was actually newborn, he didn't sleep very well. He was confused with, you know, day and night. So it was pretty tough, you know, the first couple of months. And I remember that I would go and put my ear, you know, next to his mouth, like to see if he was breathing. And my husband would come, would see me, and he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm just making sure that he's breathing And he's like, why would he not be breathing? And I'm like, yeah, but he's sleeping more than he was sleeping, you know, the other time. And he's like, oh, my goodness, you know, you're worrying about every single thing. Like, you need to just relax, you know, that's what he would say to me. And, you know, then the milestone started happening. And to be honest, you know, Malachi didn't do the things that they recommend he should do at a certain age. He didn't crawl or walk. He didn't stand up on his own, I think, till he was about one. You know, he didn't walk till he was 18 months. And, you know, it really affected me. You know, I was so consumed with, am I doing the right thing? I started to think, am I doing something wrong as a mother? Why isn't my son doing this? Everyone's saying he should be crawling, you know, he should be doing this. And then even at one stage, the maternal health nurse said he should have physio. And we're just like, no, you know. And every time I'd say to my husband, you know, oh, but he should be walking, he'd be like, it's okay, he'll do it when he's ready. But for some reason with me, I don't know if it's a mother thing. I don't know if it's a first-time mother thing. Maybe a first-time mother out there can relate. But I just felt so much pressure. I felt so consumed with, am I doing the right things? That I started to compare myself. I started to compare myself to other mothers. I started sometimes through social media. I started to compare Malachi to other babies. I had this expectation of myself, you know, that I needed to be the perfect mum. And it was at that point, you know, that there were times where, like, my husband went back to work and I was home alone with Malachi, and he would just be crying or whatever it may be. And I remember that even though I had so many friends around me, I still felt alone. I still felt overwhelmed. I still felt like I'm his mum. You know, why can't I do this? Why can't I help him do that? And I just got so consumed in that pressure that I had to be a certain way, or my son had to be a certain way, that it stilled my joy, my peace, that I know that peace and joy can only come from God. And it was in that moment, and I'll never forget it, crying on my knees. It was at that point that God said to me, what is the most important thing for you as a mother? What is the single most important thing for you as a mother? You know, while all these things are so important, teaching them how to talk, walk, crawl, eat on their own, so important. But for me personally, when God asked me that question, I felt to say to myself, well, I want my son to learn how to live a faithful life. I want him to know that in life, it's not always going to turn out the way he may want it to turn out. The older that he gets, you know, the more challenges that will come in his life. And even for me, to be able to let go and trust him and let him make his own choices and decisions and teach him that with every choice comes a consequence. But I want him to know that in life, when things don't go the way that he would like him to, that God is with him. That God, in God's timing, the things in his life will come to pass. I want him to know that his strength will come from God. So as I go back to that question, I ask myself, I want him to live that faithful life. But how am I being a great role model if all I'm doing is worrying about everything? How am I supposed to teach him how to live that faithful life? Even at a young age, they learn. They already know a lot of things, you know, and they can sense when a mother is worried. They can sense when a mother is upset. But I want him to see a mum that will live by faith and not by sight. You know, my husband and I are totally different, you know, when we deal with disappointment. I don't know if that's a woman or male thing, but I'm emotional and he's not, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe it is, but in our marriage, that's what it is. We are very, very different when we deal with disappointment and discouragement. I'm more someone that will rely more on my feelings, and, you know, when something does happen in our lives, and we've been through a lot of tough seasons since we've been together, and I can dwell in, you know, in the sadness or the disappointment, and all in my head trying to analyze everything and think about, oh, but why this is happening? Is this really going to happen now? Is this how it's going to be? But I was hoping for this. Where, believe it or not, people that know my husband, he does have emotions and he does feel different things. You just never, you never get to see them. But he does get disappointed or discouraged, believe it or not. But if I put my energy more into the feelings that I'm feeling, and that's my way of dealing it with his way of dealing it, which is not, none of them are right or wrong, but his way of dealing it with is, I want to use that energy instead of being in the disappointment. I want to use that energy to focus on God and what he has. So he would always say to me, you know, yes, this is disappointing. Yes, this is not the way we, what we wanted. You know, but he'll say that we don't need to know the answers for everything. All we need to do is put our trust in God. He has never failed us. He will always have what is best for us. And his timing is always perfect. He'll say to me, if something hasn't happened yet, it's not his timing. And no matter how long we've been together, I am still sometimes amazed with that type of faith. Maybe coming from someone that is emotional, I'm not sure, but I still get so with him, like, aren't you a bit disappointed? He'd be like, yeah, I am, but I don't want to stay in that. I don't want to stay in that. And I always would say to him, how did you become so faithful and content? How can you still, when we've been hit with such a big disappointment, still have that faith? And he would always say to me, I learnt it from my mother. Growing up for them wasn't easy. You know, his mother, so my mother-in-law, had her fair share of disappointments and discouragement, yet her children never saw it. They saw a mother that would rise above her circumstances and would always say to her children, don't worry, God is in control and God is good all the time. To be honest, that's still my mother-in-law's favourite words to say because I get to hear it. But I truly believe that her children are so faithful because of her. Oh, actually, you will never forget a time that we went to Sydney. So my husband's family's from Sydney. And we try and obviously go and visit them, you know, as much as we can. And obviously at the moment we can't, which is sad, but can't wait till those borders are open so we can have some family time. But I remember one morning my husband said to me, oh, how did you sleep? I don't know about you guys, I'm a light sleeper. So once I get woken up, so hard to get back to sleep and then, yeah, by the time you go to sleep, the alarm goes off and then it's so annoying, right? But I said to him, oh, I woke up about 4 o'clock. I got woken up. I heard this lady singing. I think it was next door. So I'm not sure, but she was singing for hours and it was loud. I had no idea what she was saying. But it went on for a while and he's like, I know, that's just my mum. She gets up every morning before she makes breakfast to pray and worship. And I thought, wow. That's actually stuck with him. Like she's done it since they were little. Now picture this. If you've watched The War Room, which I love The War Room, that older lady that goes into her closet and prays like the roof is coming down, prays like maybe God is right in front of them with them and it's just so loud and so full of faith and so full of like love and passion. That is how my mother-in-law prays. It's like, wow. You know, I get to experience that and she's someone that I truly look up to. She's a woman of so much faith. You know, she is a mum that all she wants for her children is what God's plan is for their lives. She will put her own feelings aside, put her own dreams aside. If she knows that God has a plan for her children, that's the path that she wants them to follow. And she is just someone that I really do look up to and inspire to. You know, she will fight for her children to make sure what God has for their lives will come to pass. You know, there's so many mothers in the Bible that model this that all of us can also, you know, look up to. But I love the story of Bathsheba. Bathsheba is more known as the woman that had an affair with King David. But to me personally, she's so much more than that. She is the mother of King Solomon. So back, and King Solomon would not have been king if it wasn't for her. Because back in those days, the firstborn son of a king would become one. And Solomon wasn't King David's firstborn son, and Adonijah was. And once David reached an old age, and Adonijah announced himself to be king, when Bathsheba heard of this, it says in 1 Kings 16 to 18, "What can I do for you?" he asked. He asked her, she replied, My God, my Lord your God, you said to me, your son Solomon will surely be the next king and will sit on my throne. But instead, Adonijah has made himself king, and my Lord the king does not even know it. What courage and faith it would have taken for Bathsheba to go before her husband. Yes, it's her husband. But back in those days, women weren't listened to or taken seriously. They were treated more like servants. So for her, she knew the plan for her son's life was, and she wanted it to come to pass. That takes courage and that takes faith. King Solomon went on to be the wisest king ever known. You know, God has a plan for every child. And our faith journey, I believe, is just the start of, you know, our story, but also to help our children find their own path. As I mentioned earlier, you know, even though I've only been a mother for 2 years, it was a long and hard road to get here. Even though I had dreamt of it since I was a little girl, there were times, you know, where I questioned, would this ever happen for me? But God heard every prayer and felt every tear, and his timing is truly perfect. I feel to encourage you, whether you are a mum, desire to be a mum or not married yet, I feel to encourage you that your faith does not go in vain. And that is just a part, your journey is just a part of your perfect story that you will get to tell your children. There are so many great examples in the Bible of women that were barren. God heard their prayers and they became mothers. So many women that had to step in the unknown or in an uncomfortable situation, God heard their prayers and they became mothers. I love the story of Ruth. You know, every time I've been reading the story of Ruth, I feel like it was more about the sacrifice. But as I've read it at a different perspective lately, there's such a woman of faith and she didn't even know it. Here is a woman who just lost her husband. So her mother-in-law, Naomi, lost two sons that day. And once her sons had passed, they were obviously living in Moab. She is from Bethlehem. She felt like there's nothing left for me in Moab. I want to go back to Bethlehem. And she said to her daughter-in-laws, I'm going to go back because there's nothing left for me here. But Ruth didn't want her mother-in-law to go alone. So she said to Naomi, well, I'm going to come with you. And Naomi didn't want Ruth to go because she was from Moab. She's never been to Bethlehem. She doesn't know any different. And she said, look, I want you to get remarried, you know, have children of your own. She didn't have any children at that time. And she said to her that, I'm too old. I don't have any more sons for you. And by the time I bear any more children, you'll be too old and they'll be too young. But this is how Ruth replied in chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Wherever you go, wherever you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. What is awesome about the story of Ruth is that one, she wasn't even an Israelite. So she was from Moab. So Moab followed their own God. So she actually didn't even know who God was at this time. Yet God still had a plan for her. That one step of faith that she did to move from Moab to Bethlehem changed her life forever. Within all that pain and uncertainty, God still had a plan for her life. Ruth ended up marrying a man named Boaz. They had a son named Obed, who was the father of Jesse and the grandfather of King David. So that makes Ruth King Solomon's great-great-grandmother. Jesus also falls into this line. Wow, that one step of faith not only changed her life forever, but ours. We just never know what plans God has when we step out in faith and just trust in him. The story of Hannah is another one that has spoken to me so much lately, especially lately. A story full of faith. A story full of a woman that went through so many hardships, so many heartaches, but ended up in triumph. See, Hannah's womb was closed, but she longed to be a mother. And at one time, she desperately went to the Lord, and it says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, 10 to 13. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven of armies, if you look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord. A priest ally who was there at the time when she prayed went on to say, go in peace and may the Lord of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. The Bible says the next morning, the Lord remembered Hannah and in due time, she bore a son. Imagine all that waiting and all that pain. She still kept her promise. And once Samuel was nursed, she dedicated him back to the Lord, and that's where he lived for the rest of his life. So can you imagine that once this child that you've been waiting and praying for, giving him back to the Lord, that you were only able to visit once a year. So once you imagine the traveling there and back and thinking, oh, I've got to be able to see my son. Every year, her and her husband will go and visit him at the tabernacle and make him a little robe. That just shows the level of commitment and faith that Hannah had for the Lord. What was more important to her than her feelings was her commitment to God. Samuel went on to be one of the greatest prophets, but God did not forget Hannah's faithfulness, and she was blessed above and beyond what she ever could have imagined. And she went on to have 3 more sons and 2 more daughters. Being in the waiting isn't always easy. You know, it can be filled with moments of sometimes hope, then it can change to discouragement. And sometimes all that uncertainty can really test our faith. It can be really hard to remember in those times that, you know, God has a plan, you know, but he does. But it's reminding ourselves of these promises that he does give. You know, our church theme this year is grow, and it really has challenged me and really spoken to me that, you know, am I growing from season to season? You know, am I dealing with disappointments the same as I disappoint the way I dealt with the last one? You know, I question myself, am I still basing, you know, everything on my feelings instead of trust? You know, sometimes we can limit God, you know, based on our age, circumstances, or even environment. You know, I got married at a later age and had a child at a later age. Is that how I dreamt it? No, but I'm thankful for it. Thankful that God still had a plan, even in the moments that I thought, was he ever going to have one? You know, Pastor E mentioned a couple of weeks ago that faith isn't based on people or things. It is based on God. And sometimes, you know, we need to ask ourselves, do we trust him enough to see us through? Do we trust him more than the prayers that we are praying? You know, the world can tell us that by a certain age we should have this, and by a certain time we should have achieved that, and if we don't, you know, is there something wrong with us? No, because you know what, in here, it doesn't say that. There is nowhere in here that it says that by a certain age we should have achieved that. This book is not based on worldly timing. It is based on his timing. It is based on his promises and on his purpose, all to greater his kingdom. You know, we are just vessels, you know, in his perfect, perfect plan. You know, I'm going to share a little revelation that I got, you know, not too long ago as I was going through this tough season. You know, I was reading the Bible and there's so many awesome stories, so many amazing stories that actually happen and miracles that happen, and you just think, wow, you know, reading the story of Hannah, reading the story of Sarah, even David finding Goliath, and you think, oh, wow, you know, and even Joseph, you know, the battle that Joseph went through. And I was going through this season and I thought, and while I was reading them, I'm like, wow, they're so awesome. God is so good. But then I question, but would that happen for me? Well, this is all awesome. Like, God gave David that power to fight Goliath. Sarah became pregnant at 100. You know, Hannah, after all that time, you know, I thought, oh, but will it happen for me? And God revealed something to me. He asked me, do you think you're any different than David, Sarah, or Hannah, Joseph? Abraham, all the awesome, awesome people in the Bible? He said, no. I love you all the same. You are all my children. The only difference between you and them is that they believed. They believe in me. We all know that nothing pleases God more than faith. I believe God's love language is obedience. He wants us to believe in Him that much that no matter what we're feeling, no matter what we think life should look like, that we have that much faith in Him that His timing is truly perfect, what He has for us is truly perfect. And even as you read the Bible, these beautiful stories that come together, how Ruth is David's grandma and, you know, great-great-grandma of Solomon, it's so beautiful to read and see the pieces of these puzzle all come together because that's how much He loves us. You know, Hannah, I'm sure, was frustrated in her time of waiting and felt like, I want Samuel at this time. But God knew the time that Samuel, the right time for Samuel to be born. Not only was he the greatest prophet, but he was also the one that anointed David to be king when David was just 17 and also went on to be David's mentor. So if Samuel was born at the time Hannah wanted him, who was going to be there for David? God just has beautiful plans. I love reading it and just love seeing his little jigsaw puzzle, you know, because he really does see. We only see a small portion where he sees the sky and he sees beyond our dreams. So as I go back to that question, what is the single most important thing for me as a mother? What does that even look like? You know, I am not perfect and I never will be, and that's okay. Not meant to be. Only God is perfect, but together we can make a good team. Am I always going to get it right as a mother? Absolutely not. But I'm going to try. I'm definitely going to try my best to do that. But I'm not always going to have it all together. But one day, I want God to look down on my son and know that he got his faith from his mother. I want to share a verse from 2 Timothy where the Apostle Paul is encouraging Timothy to remain faithful. In verse 5 it says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that was first filled with your grandmother Lois, your mother Ernest, and now that same faith continues strong in you. Be encouraged this morning that our faith journey starts well before we become one. We are not meant to be perfect or have it all together. Some days we will question, are we doing a good enough job? Some days you probably have a long work day and then get home, you still got to cook dinner and you're just like, does anyone even notice how hard I'm trying? Does anyone even care? You know? Sometimes you could go in a closet and just want to cry. But remember, be encouraged that God sees everything. The job of the mum is the hardest one you will ever do, but it also holds eternal value. Mums, you are teaching the next generation. You are teaching them to help find their God gift, encouraging them, instilling morals and values that will last a lifetime. You are teaching them how to love others, how to look after others, how to be responsible. You are doing a really good job. Your labor will never go in vain in God's eyes. This morning, I pray that as you're reminded of the journey that you are on, that you know that God is right there with you, holding your hand, saying, it's okay. Together we have this, and together we will create a legacy. On behalf of Real Life Church, I love to wish all the mothers and grandmothers out there a happy Mother's Day. I hope you have a really, really special day. I want to thank you for your time this morning and sharing it with me. Thank you for your time. God bless you all, church. Goodbye.